Mom and Dad came down to see Bubba. Had a nice time yesterday. It was Mom's birthday. And I feel a little guilty, though, you know, after what I've been talking about with you and doing things. Because yesterday, I hope you won't hold this against me, but I better tell you about it before you find out about it through somebody else. But yesterday, I went to the Smithsonian!
You know, it was Mom's birthday. I said, what do you want to do, Mom? Anything. You want to go out and have a nice dinner? She said, well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, and I've never done it. And now that you're working here in D.C., I'd love to go to the Smithsonian. I said, the Smithsonian! Mom, I can't go to the Smithsonian. Suppose I'm walking through the Smithsonian, one of the listeners recognizes me. My picture's been in the paper. I've been on TV. I'm going to be on the PM Magazine October the 5th. I mean, if somebody recognizes me and they see me, hater of tourists and tourism, in the Smithsonian, I'll never live it down. They'll call me a hypocrite. I won't be able to face it. She said, well, listen, first of all, nobody's going to recognize you because the place is only full of tourists. People that hate the Smithsonian wouldn't be there, so they wouldn't recognize it. I don't know, Mama. Someone might be there and see me going in. Someone might be driving by. She said, all right, it's my birthday, but that's okay. You know, I won't be here long. I'll be in the grave, and you'll always say at my funeral, I should have talked to the Smithsonian. I said, all right, with the guilt, Mom, I'll take you to the Smithsonian. So sure enough, we went to the Smithsonian. I'm looking around, sweat on my brow, hoping to heavens that no one recognizes me. Over inside looking at one of the exhibits, when up ahead I see, oh, God, it's a newspaper guy. A newspaper guy I talked to with a photographer. I should have known, of course. They're always doing new exhibits at the Smithsonian. Needless to say, the press is there to cover it. And there's this reporter that I know with a photographer to take a picture of the new exhibit. And, of course, I told him, oh, I hate tourists and I never go places, and here this guy sees me. What a scoop it would be, a picture of me in the paper. Grease man caught at Smithsonian. Closet tourist. I did the only thing I could do. I turned around and started to walk away, but there was no exit. The only way out of there was to go past the reporter. I ducked into the men's room, and there I saw him, a tourist, standing there, making his bladder gladder. I went up and I karate chopped him in the back of the neck, and he collapsed into a faint. And I caught him before he hit the ground. And I stripped him of his Bermuda shorts, his sandals and knee socks, his flowered shirt and his Nikon. I put a little hat on my head that he was wearing, and I put all his clothing on. And I slipped out of the restroom and started to make my way toward the exit of the Smithsonian. I got about halfway there when the reporter walked up to me and said, excuse me, sir, you enjoying the exhibit? I said, yes, very much. He said, where are you from anyway? I said, oh, he said, you look familiar. Do I know you from someplace? I've never been there. I said, no, I don't think so. Last night I was in Georgetown. Maybe you saw me from there. I tried to disguise my voice. I had the hat pulled low on my brow. I started to walk away from the guy. I got about 15 feet away when he said, I know where I know you from. Hey, you look exactly like the Grease Man. Grease, is that you? I started to run. I said, Mom, I'll catch up with you later. And I took off through the Smithsonian. I went down the up escalator. I shouldered people aside like O.J. Simpson. Whap, 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 whap. Old people were falling down. I stepped in the middle of their back. I had to get out of there. I hit the street. I said, taxi, taxi. I hopped into the cab. We squealed away just as the reporter was leaving. He called a cab of his own. He said, follow that cab. We talked into the traffic. And I reached down. I knew what I had to do. I reached down for that stick of dynamite. That stick of dynamite I always carry rolled up in my sock. You never know when you're going to need it. And I knew I had to have a diversionary tactic. I had to get away from that reporter. There's no way he could know that, number one, I was in the Smithsonian. Number two, I was wearing Bermuda shorts. So I lit the dynamite. The fuse glowed in my hand. I held it low so the cabbie wouldn't see it. I reached for the window, and there was no latch to roll down the window. I said, hey, what's with the windows? I need to roll down the window. He said, you can't roll down the window. It's a burglar-proof cab. There was a piece of plexiglass separating the front seat from the back seat and no handles on the windows. I said, my God! I gotta get the window open. He said, buddy, the car's air conditioned. I said, I gotta get the window open. I said, open the door then. He said, the doors won't open unless the cab is completely stopped. I said, my God, what is it? I had a half an inch of fuse left, so I thought fast. There was a little compartment there in between the front seat and the back seat where you slide the money through. So I slid the dynamite through and I dropped to the floor. When the smoke finally cleared on that ruined front section of the cab, I leaned over and I said, hey, keep the change.
Changing the way Washington talks, it's the Grease Man on DC 101.